Hey guys, well, welcome back to the Be the Girl Bible Study Series. Our study through the book of Ruth has been so enlightening to me, especially that we're talking about Be the Girl. We're looking at the life of Ruth and Naomi and how God has wired them and called them and prepared them to be the girl. Each week, we're walking through different areas that we can be the girl. And tonight, I want to talk to you about Be the Girl That's Strategic. Now, before we get started, I just have to do a shout out for our new t-shirts. How do you like these? I'm so excited about our Be the Girl Bible study coming up on the 27th of February. So just a few weeks away, you guys don't want to miss it. Make sure you get your tickets. If you can't join us here at Influence Church, then please join us online for our virtual audience. Make sure you get your tickets. We're selling out quick. Great speakers coming, but here's the most important thing. It's a time to come together with other women, to be encouraged, to learn, to be your best. So you don't want to miss this time of worship. Kim Walker Smith will be here. Bianca Olof will be here. I'll be bringing a message. So a time to come and gather with women. Be the girl, February 27th for our conference. All right. All that being said, let's jump in right now and talk about how to be the girl that's strategic. You know, strategy by its definition is a plan of action. So it's a plan of action designed to achieve an overall aim. So we're going to talk about strategy. Strategy is basically a plan that you want to get from point A to point B, and you put together strategic ideas and steps to get there. I'm telling you right now, guys, we need a strategy. We are living in a time right now in 2021. We're coming out of this crazy time of COVID. Many of us have either been in lockdown orders, we've been staying at home, we've been Zooming. Maybe it's fear or discouragement, but something is holding you back. I've spoken with so many of you, and you just want this season to pass. You want this season to be over. Can I tell you that you need a strategy to get out of it? I'm going to ask you right now, what are you facing? Now listen to me, we're going to walk through some steps together, but let me ask you as you're listening right now, what are you facing right now that you need a strategy on? Are you facing some fear? Has COVID-19 caused fear to set in? The fear to get out, the fear to be around people? Remember we talked about, you know, when you pass someone, whether you're at the grocery store or Target or getting gas, and you look down and you make sure your mask is on and all this social separation, and there's just like a fear that's come over our society and our atmosphere. So you might just be struggling with fear. Maybe it's discouragement or depression, or maybe honestly it's laziness. Maybe you just don't want to get up, you're lethargic and you're stuck and you're just saying, I don't even want to go out. We're living in a time for many that feel crippled. But can I tell you right now, you can actually put together a strategy to come out of it. Some of you have ideas and passions and things you want to do with your life, and you need a strategy. You need a plan of action to do it. I love this quote. It says, strategy is just a fancy word for coming up with a long-term plan and putting it into action. So can you say with me, strategy? Can you say, girlfriend, I need a strategy. I need a plan of action. I love this quote. It says, a vision without strategy remains an illusion. A vision without strategy remains an illusion. Just a thought. Let me tell you, and let me just tell you a personal story right now. I was getting stuck. I felt like I couldn't get moving. And so I had to put a strategy together for me. And you guys know, as a life coach and pastor, and I get excited easy, but I was just feeling a little discouraged, a little blue, a little depressed, whatever word you want to call it. I tried to stay up and positive, but I sat down with a pen and paper and I wrote out a strategy. I looked at my walking regime, my eating regime, my bedtime regime. I made sure I was getting bed at a certain time. I was getting enough rest. I was eating right. I had to put together literally a strategy for me to follow. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. You need to put together a plan of action. And I love our story. We're picking up in Ruth 3. And we're going to look at how Naomi put together a strategy for her daughter-in-law, Ruth, to be able to go forward with her life. And you're going to love this story. It's a beautiful love story found in Ruth chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, open them up with me, and we're going to look together at the strategy of Naomi and Ruth. Chapter 3. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be provided for." Now remember, when we read the Word of God, we're asking Holy Spirit to speak to us. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces deep, the Bible says. So as you read this, don't just read it as a love story or a historical story. Put yourself in everything you read in the Word of God and say, "God, what do you want to say to me?" So as we pick up this story, we find out, remember the backstory of Naomi and how she was struggling. She and Ruth both lost their husbands and their loved ones, and they're making their way from where they were in Moab back to Bethlehem. They're having to start over. We talked about that last week. But now they're looking into their future. And now Naomi's saying, "Listen, we've got to move forward. We can't stay stuck." So she says, "I need to prepare for your future, Ruth. I'm going to die at some point, but my job now is to help you with your future." Verse 2. "Now Boaz, with whom the women you have worked with, is a relative of ours. So tonight he will be at the barley fields at the threshing floor." Now what you have to realize is that Naomi knew the law. She knew the practices of her people, so she started thinking strategically about what she could do with her daughter-in-law to find a place for her. Let me just stop right now. We all have to start thinking strategically about our future. We have to know the law. We have to know the opportunities that come our way. We have to make a plan for ourselves and our children and our children's children. And that's what we see here with Naomi. So she's saying, Boaz, who we discovered in the last chapter, is our kinsman redeemer. Let's think how possibly he could play a part in your future. Verse 3, here's where the strategy gets really good. "I want you to wash yourself and put on some perfume." I love that in the Word of God. Now remember, Ruth has been in the fields. She's been working the field. She's probably dirty. Maybe she stinks. Strategy: I want you to shower. I want you to wash up. And I want you to put on some perfume. And then get dressed in your best clothes. This mother-in-law knew how to get the eye of Boaz. Put on your best clothes and then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know, Boaz that is, that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. Then, as the evening goes on and he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go uncover his feet and lie down at his feet. He will tell you what to do. Now, you might think this is odd, but this is part of the culture of the day. So when a woman would lie at your feet, she is telling you that she is interested. She's telling you that she wants to be with you. It wasn't an advance. It wasn't like she was trying to do something suggestive, because we'll find out later in the chapter that all the women knew that Ruth was a woman of character. But we're going to find out the beautiful part of the story in just a moment. She said, "I am available. You are a kinsman redeemer. Would you consider me?" The scripture goes on and says in verse 5, "I will do whatever you tell me to do," Ruth said. To be honest, Ruth probably found this a little odd herself, but she was following the lead and the strategy of her mother-in-law. Verse 6, "So she went down to the threshing floor and she did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and he was in good spirits, he went to lie down in the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, she uncovered his feet and she lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man and he turned, and there was lying a woman at his feet. 'Who are you?' he asked. 'I am your servant Ruth,' she replied. 'Spread the corner of your garment over me, since I am your guardian redeemer.' 'The Lord bless you,' Boaz said. 'My daughter,' he replied, 'this kindness is greater than that which you have even shown earlier.'" He's saying, all the kindness that you've shown to your mother-in-law, we've watched you. We know the story here in Bethlehem. We know who you are, Ruth. We know how you respect your mother-in-law and you're providing for her. But Boaz goes so far as to say, what you're doing to make yourself available to me, to give yourself to me is even greater than all the love, all the respect, all the honor that you have paid to your mother-in-law. You have not run after young men, whether they be rich or poor. So if you read the scripture and you begin to look into it, the story unfolds for you. It tells us that Boaz says you could have gone to a younger man, a richer man, a different man, but you know the law and you understand kinsman redeemer. You understand that when your husband died, that I am next in line, so we think. The story does get a little tricky here. But you are making yourself available to come into my fold, my family, that I'll be able to possibly give you a child in the family line of your husband. So they understand the historical and cultural experience here. And he says, and now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do all that you ask. All the people of the town know that you are a woman of noble character. Her testimony, her character goes before her. You see, I want to talk to you about strategy, and strategy always starts with a need or a desire. So we're looking at this story in Ruth. We're putting the be the girl that has character, be the girl that strategizes, be the girl that is strategic, all of these things that we're saying, because we want to understand how to be the girl, and we're using this story. But here we understand strategy, and I'm going to tell you, strategy always starts with a need or a desire. So let me ask you right now, let me ask you personally. What need do you have? We mentioned at the beginning, maybe your need right now is just to get out of bed, to get out of depression or loneliness, or when is this going to end, or when will my children go back to school, or when will life become normal? There's so much chaos right now that people are feeling pressure and tension, and you might just say, I need to get out of this. Maybe it's a need that you have, but maybe it's a desire. Some of you have a desire, many of you, and I'll just say this right now, if you have started clothing line and fashion lines and products and companies because you have this desire and you have a thought, that's a strategy. You've got to put a strategy to that to come through that. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So I want to walk through a few steps that I think will be really helpful for you in how to develop a strategy. How to develop a strategy. Number one, and I hope again, as I always say, that you have pen and paper, that you're writing down these thoughts. I'm telling you what, I'm coaching you through this. It will help you if you put this plan of action to your feet. If you do something with it, you'll see something through it. So let's, number one, first of all, have a plan. Write that down, have a plan. Now, what I like to do when I get an idea, I like to start and ask God, God, is this your plan for me? God, is this your plan for me? You know, there's a great verse, and many of us know it, in Jeremiah 29:11. Listen, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Now listen, let's stop right there. You have a plan. That's your strategy. It's going to be happiness. It's going to be an idea. It's going to be joy. It's going to be whatever you need to put strategy to in your life. But listen, listen to me. God says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. Now, before we go any further, let me just stop right there. You may have an idea, you may have a thought, you may have a plan, and it may not be God's. I have had so many ideas, and they weren't always God's ideas. So you have to stop right here and ask God, are these your plans for me? Is this what you want me to do? Is this the right timing to do it? For I know the plans I have for you, God says. Listen, plans for welfare. I love that word, welfare. Do you know that you can be under God's welfare plan? God has welfare. He has good for you. He sees a future for you. I have welfare for you and not evil. God does not want evil in your life. He doesn't want you depressed and discouraged and despondent. He wants you to get up. He has a plan for you, as an action for you. He wants to do something with you. He says, I want to give you a future and hope. Can you just say amen, hallelujah? Can you go to Jeremiah 29:11 right now and underline that verse? Write it out. Put it on your refrigerator. Say yes, in Jesus' name. You have hope and a future for me. Every strategy starts with asking God, what's the plan for me? And if you'll start there and you'll allow God to lead your path, He will direct the plan. So number one, ask God. I love this verse in Proverbs 21:5. Listen to it. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. So guys, you've got to do something with this. You've got to put action behind it. You've got to put energy behind it. You've got to push through. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. But listen, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. I've coached a lot of you girls that are watching right now. I know it. Many of you have ideas and you fizzle out. You fizzle out before you follow through. I'm telling you, get a plan of action. Ask God what He wants you to do. That's number one. And then number two, think creatively. Think creatively. Some of you are trying to come up with the same old strategy you've always had. I love this story because what was it that the mother-in-law did? She said, take a bath and put on some perfume and put on some nice clothes. Listen, some of you need to get out of your loungewear. We're living in a season through COVID-19. And listen, I love the loungewear. Matter of fact, at the women's conference, you're gonna love our new clothing line. So we have loungewear and athletic wear and workout wear, and I love it all. But some of you just need to get up and get dressed. Put some makeup on, put some perfume on, go out. There's times, you guys, where I actually just get dressed up and I go to the mall and just window shop. I buy myself a cappuccino, I walk through the mall, I smile. I have to do some things in my life to make me feel that life is normal. I have to think creatively. There's some things I have to do differently. Listen to me. Think creatively. Do something different. God wants you to have a strategy for your future. He wants you to smile. He wants you to have a plan with hope. And that's what you need to do. I love this verse in Exodus 35, verses 31 and 32. Listen, and He has filled him with the Spirit of God. Can you stop right there and say, God, I need you to fill me with the Spirit of God. Breathe in me life. I want to smile. I want to be happy. I want to have joy. Some of you just need to wake up with the power and the Spirit of God. It says He has filled them with the Spirit of God. Listen, here's what He filled them with: skill and intelligence and knowledge and craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work with gold and silver and bronze. All of these ideas, all of this creativity came from God. I'm telling you, don't stay stuck in this season. Be the girl that's strategic, that has ideas and plans. God wants to do something big with you. So think creatively. How can you think differently than you've been thinking? Number three, be prepared for roadblocks along the way. Be prepared for roadblocks along the way. See, we're going to find out in this story that Ruth and Naomi went to Boaz thinking he was their kinsman redeemer. But we're going to find out in the next chapter that there was actually a kinsman redeemer before Boaz, that he had the full right to bring her into his home, his fold, his family before Boaz. It was a roadblock for Ruth and Naomi. Roadblocks are going to come, but God can get you through the roadblock. And stay with me, because next week we're going to find out what it is. We're going to be patient. We're going to look at that next week. Be patient. But God will move the roadblocks, but there will be roadblocks that come. And what will happen is you'll get discouraged, you'll want to give up, you'll quit, you'll say, I tried that before, I had this idea, and then somebody else came up with it, I had that idea first, and you're going to hit a roadblock. But let me tell you what, someone that is serious about their strategy will push through the roadblock. Jeremiah, I love this verse in Jeremiah, and I just, stay with me. I jumped ahead in my verse right here. Okay, stay with me. Let me get to it. Jeremiah, here we go. Okay, Jeremiah 1:19. Listen, then they will fight against you. So He's telling us right now, roadblocks are going to come. Those will come against you and they'll fight against you. But look what He says, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Guys, do you have some verses that you just go to and you read when you feel discouraged, when you feel the roadblocks, when you feel overcome? This is one of them you need to read. They will fight against you, but they will not overtake you, for I am with you to deliver you. Push through the roadblock. Remove the roadblock. Get out and pick it up and get it out of your way. God wants to work you through these roadblocks. So I'm telling you right now, where's the roadblocks? Now for you right now, it might just be, Tammy, I'm discouraged. Now listen, I just want to pause here. I feel this in my spirit, so I got to say this to somebody. Depression is real. Depression is real. Discouragement is real. Feeling stuck is real. And for many of us, I will say, we have stayed home more than we've ever stayed home. And you're looking at the same four walls and the same four people. When you do get out, you've got a mask and you feel covered up. Maybe you put weight on. Maybe you just, I don't know what your story is, but you just feel stuck. I'm telling you right now, you have to push through whatever it is that the enemy's trying to destroy you with. You have to understand that God's got a plan, not to harm you, but to bring you good. You got to understand that you've got to come up with a plan of action. You have to think differently. You have to look at your problem differently. And that's exactly what it's telling us right here. You have to do these things. But then the last thing you've got to do, and I think it's so good, you have to involve others in your plan. You can't do it alone. A few weeks ago, we talked about accountability. So put those girlfriends in your life that will challenge you to get up and get out, to go for a walk, to get dressed, to put on makeup, to come to dinner, to come to church, to come to the women's conference, whatever it is, get some accountability and involve some people in your life. We see that Naomi had the strategic plan, but she had to bring Ruth in. And then she brought the other women in. So you have to have others involved in your life. Proverbs 11 verse 14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. If you don't have the counsel and the input of others in your life, you will not survive. You are not meant to do this alone. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So we've said that over and over in all of these weeks, you've got to have women around you. I love this quote. It says, no matter how brilliant your mind or strategy, if you're playing a solo game, you'll always lose out to team. You are not meant to do this alone. You need a team of friends around you. So you have to have accountability and you have to have strategy with others. So you have to make sure that you're doing that. And then number five, the one that I want to conclude with today is you have to follow through. Listen, you have to see it to the end. You got to remove the roadblocks. You got to complete it. You have to know what it is you want to do. That's what strategy is all about. It's seen from the beginning to the end. It's walking through every step, every step, every step to where you literally see the end result. Proverbs 14, 23 is another great verse you might want to write down. It says, in all toil, there is profit. So make no mistake about it. There is work. There is toil. You will never get what you want without work and effort and follow through. It doesn't just happen by osmosis. Part of the strategy is pushing through the difficulty. So in all toil, there is profit. But mere talk tends only and leads only to poverty. Hey, you can sit around and talk all day, and that's where most of us are. We're a lot of talk and no action. You've got to put some work. You've got to put some effort, and you've got to put some energy to your strategy. Again, in Proverbs 16, verse 3, the Bible says, commit your work to the Lord. So again, remember, we said there's effort, there's steps, there's strategy, there's a plan. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. So guys, you need to walk through all five of these. You need to say, God, I need a strategy. I need a plan. I need to take action. You know, I don't know where we're going to end up here in 2021. We have a new administration. There have been a lot of executive orders under our new president that have changed a lot of things for Christians, for our faith. I believe a lot more will come. I'm just going to get real honest with you right now. I'm not trying to give you my political conviction, but I'm telling you, we're living in a day where there's, in a lot of ways and places, still locked down. We've talked about this already. Many of us feel we don't have a voice. Many of us feel we can't get out. I believe that fear and judgment is just so strong and so atmospheric. And I'm telling you what right now, guys, you need to get a strategy for your future. Let me just tell you, I'm gonna encourage you right now, what you know I love to do, go on a prayer walk. Get out, ask God to reveal from heaven the plan for you. What is the strategy? Remember, strategy is just a word for steps, for a plan. God, do you want me to do this? And then I'll do this, and then I'll do this, and show me that it's your plan for me. You know, I don't know how many of you know the story of Airbnbs, and I have stayed in Airbnbs, maybe you have as well. But in 2008, three guys got together, and they actually were just trying to make some money. And so they opened up their apartment, and they put down air mattresses, thus air, and they gave them bed and a breakfast, so they called it Airbnb. And for $80, you could rent a mattress and get a breakfast, and they literally were just trying to make money in their apartments. Well, so many people were signing up to come that they thought, hey, we're gonna brand this. So they started a website, Airbnb, and many people actually got the mattresses and put them in their home and put it on their website, and they were getting a lot of people visiting the website, and they were getting a lot of people that wanted to do the Airbnb, but there wasn't follow through. I love this story because it has to do with strategy. So here's these three guys with a great idea that they knew would work, but something was keeping people from booking. So they started looking at the website, and the photos that people were uploading of their Airbnb were awful. The photos that they were shooting were awful. They had underwear in the background, that the rooms were a mess. Half of them you couldn't even tell what they were. They were so such awful photos. So the guys decided what they would do is they would actually go to each home. They would knock on the door. They would say, you have a posted on our Airbnb site. Could we come in and actually take a photo of your mattress and of your kitchen? And could we actually do the photo for you? And so many people said, sure, come on in. Then they doctored them up and they made them look so good. And then they re-uploaded them on their website. Well, things went from bad to good. Before long, they were getting bookings after bookings after bookings. They couldn't keep up with the bookings. Matter of fact, if you know anything about them today, they've gone public and they're a $1 billion company. Because what did they have to do? They had to have creativity and new strategy. They had a great idea, but the people were not submitting decent photos that anybody wanted to stay at their place. So they had to take action. Let me tell you right now, you need to take action. You might need a new creative idea with your strategy. And that's what I want to ask you right now, guys. What do you need to do differently? How can you be the girl? Be the girl with unique strategy for your future. You know, I want to share with you right now, and I this quote, and I think it's so good, and then I want to pray with you tonight. Winston Churchill said this, however beautiful the strategy, you should occasionally look at the results. The strategy was great for Airbnbs, but the results were horrible. How are your results with what you want to do with your life? Listen, you are made for more. You are the girl that God created you to be. You're the girl with a story. You're the girl with an idea. You're the girl with a family. You're the girl with a passion. You are the girl. Now, be the girl. Be the girl that does something different with your life. Somebody that shakes it off and know that God has a good plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. He has a plan to prosper you. He has a plan for good welfare. So let me ask you right now. Come on now. I love you. I'm going to coach you. What is it God wants you to do with your life? Would you sit down tonight? I'm going to ask you right now, get a pen, get a paper. Maybe you got your iPhone there. Write it down. Can you right now write something down that God wants you to do? And it might simply be, I just need to get a routine in my life. I need to go back to church or go to church online. I need to come to the women's conference. Just one thing. Come on, one thing that's going to be a strategy for you. The steps that you're going to take to your future. I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to do my hair. I'm going to put on makeup. I know those sound simple, but guys, they're simple little things that actually make you smile and feel good about yourself. Love you because God loves you so much. So let me pray with you now as we close. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray for every woman watching. I pray that they would take a plan of action, that they would have a strategy for their future, that they would come out of this time that might feel overwhelming and discouraging, and they, God, would step into the plan that you have for them. God, I pray that these women would be excited both about this study and the women's conference and all that you have for them. God, we pray over our nation, our president, our churches, our amendment rights. We pray, God, for America, that we would be prayer warriors and we would see you bring a revival to our nation, to our land, to our homes, and to our churches. We pray for a mighty supernatural work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, ladies, remember, I love you. I can't wait to see you on February 27th at the Be the Girl Conference. Remember, we have tickets on sale. We have bundles. There's no excuse to not come. If finances are a problem for you, please let us know. I don't want anyone to not come to the conference because of a financial burden or hardship. So be here. It's going to be an amazing conference. I love you guys so much. I'll see you next week. Be the girl. I love you.
In a world that is ever-changing and fast-moving, we understand that it can be hard to keep up with the times. What was in vogue yesterday is no longer today, and the future seems to be riding the coattails of social media. Illness, politics, and technology seem to have temporarily taken over the world. But one thing remains constant. God is in control. The future is now. Be the girl.